Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Hangover. I'm Daniel. Alongside with me, as always, Shannon Wyatt. Shannon, how are you doing? This is The Hangover, post-draft hangover. How you feeling? You feeling good?
I'm feeling great. Great. I'm still coming down off cloud nine. Because the draft was like a dream come true. Getting Fatanu and Frazier and then McCormick. Mm-hmm. All these big boys that's going to just strengthen that offensive line, and I think the Steelers are going to be the bullies on the block with that offensive line. So I'm excited. The offensive ineptitude of the last, 4 years, even 5 years, hopefully is behind us finally.
Yeah. I think so. I mean, for 2 years in a row, I'm saying this for me, at least, this has been an 8+ draft by Omar Khan. I think he outdid last year's. Last year's was crazy. And then, coming in this year, getting the offensive line situated and getting some key players, even in, like, for instance, Peyton Wilson. He's one of the guys that really excited about. I thought that the draft fell in line. The Steelers, Omar Khan, stayed very patient. You know, one of the things that they've been talking about when it comes to Omar Khan is, he's pretty aggressive. This time around, he stayed patient, stayed in his lane. Yeah. Every player came down to him. That is insane. So let's go back. The Steelers drafted Troy Fatuanu, offensive tackle, in 20. Were you surprised with the pick? Did you think that they were going to go somewhere else, given the other names that were still on the board?
Yeah, I was really shocked. It was a pleasant surprise because I thought, well, it's going to be because, they talked about Fatuanu's knee. They red flagged it. Some doctors had red flagged it. And the Steelers brought him in. They put him through the paces, and obviously they were fine with it. But when I heard that, I dropped him down on my board into the 20s. Because I thought Graham Barton, who's a similar type player with position versatility, I thought if it's an offensive lineman, it's going to be Barton. Or you had Quinyon Mitchell and Teron Arnold both there. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, they might go with, want to have that other corner and just have shut down corners. And I was really disappointed. But then when Fatanu failed at 20, the Steelers have four targets in the first round that they really, really want. And they're all there. I mean, I was shocked. So, I was just thrilled when they got him. The kid's got great feet, excellent mobility, strong. He's a leader. He's got character. You know, you've seen all the interviews and everything since the draft, and I was a big fan of him from the beginning. So, yeah, I'm thrilled to get another big boy on that offensive line.
Yeah, me too. You know, I thought there was a chance that we're going to go with Barton. You know, I thought maybe even move back, given how some of the way the draft fell. I mean, a lot of quarterbacks right off the bat. And when Fatuano was sitting there, though, I was like, man, they might get this guy, because this guy was projected top 15, top 10. You know, and the Cincinnati Bengals had just got Mims, a couple of draft picks before. And I was actually surprised that Mims went before Fatuano. And so, yeah, I was extremely excited about this. Now, he was a position that you mentioned before his height is one thing that's kind of, I guess, maybe the reason why he may have fallen a little bit. He's a little bit on the shorter side, but he has those long arms that you need for a tackle. So I don't really see that going to be an issue for him. Where do you think he's going to play, left or right side?
Oh, man, there's been so much talk. And I'm conflicted. I don't really know. I think I feel like that I want him to start immediately. I do not want Dan Moore out there. Mm-hmm. And therefore, I'm like, he's been a left tackle. He has a lot more experience on the left side. And I'm like, you know, what I really want to see happen is start of training camp. Let him play both sides. Let Broderick Jones play both sides. See who's more comfortable where. Who's more effective. The Steelers resist that. They don't want to let guys play multiple sides. And they'll say, well, Dan Moore can't play right side. He just can't do it. Chuck Scorefor, he couldn't play the left side. So let these guys, they're both very talented. Let them kind of compete to see who gets what spot. But right now, I'm assuming the easiest thing to do would be to leave Fatanu on the left where he's experienced and put in Roderick Jones play on the right to start out with at camp, you know, and then see where it goes from there.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. And you're right, man. The Steelers have been notorious for grabbing, you know, players and putting them in a position that they didn't play for a while and or refusing to move them back. For me, I think Omar Khan mentioned earlier that they want Broderick on the left side. I think that Broderick has that height, agility, athleticism that you're wanting also in your left tackle. You know, he also comes with the Steelers trading up last year to number 14 to pick him up to be the left tackle. So I think that he's going to end up getting moved over to the left tackle side. And I would want to see if this guy can do the right side. Now, he said that he could. He's practiced it quite a bit. But either way, I mean, if they end up putting him on the left side, I think it's going to be a great value, because I think regardless of it's Fatuanu or Broderick Jones, I think they're better than Dan Moore.
And, oh, Lord, yeah.
And so I see whichever way they go, it's going to be a better situation for the Pittsburgh Steelers. In the second round, this is when your boy gets picked, Zach Frazier. Now, how are you feeling when Jackson Powers Johnson got drafted and there was like 8 or 9 picks left before the Steelers and the only real center left on there for that round was Zach Frazier? How nervous were you getting up to that point?
Well, if you'd have been watching the live feed on Steel Curtain Network, and a lot of people were, I was very nervous. As each pick was going off, I was like, well, they can trade up here. You know, I was getting scared. I'm like, don't risk it, because they really needed one of them two guys, a guy who could plug and play. And so when the pick was made, obviously I was ecstatic. You know, I've spoke so much about Frazier, and people thought I was using hyperbole, but I wasn't. I was actually holding back because I didn't want to make him out to God's gift to football and then somebody else gets him, especially somebody in the division. So I was trying to hold back, but I think that the guy is going to be a Pro Bowl regular. I think he is the next Steelers legacy center. He's already spoken of that. He has such great respect for the history and the legacy of the position in Pittsburgh that the kid's going to give it everything he's got, and he just doesn't fail. I mean, he's everything he touches, he's good at. I just think that he was destined to be there, and I'm just thrilled. I mean, it makes up for the Creed Humphrey missing out on him. So I'm just so happy to have Frazier.
So as the Steelers got close, did you have that feeling of Creed Humphrey 2.0 happening again? Did you
think maybe
they were going to get there and go somewhere
else? Dave Schofield kept saying it. He kept saying it. He says, I got the feeling. It feels just like Creed Humphrey all over again. I'm like, no. And then Bradley Locker comes on and he's like, I think they should take A.D. Mitchell, the wide receiver out of Texas. I'm like, quit. You're going to jinx it.
There was that high possibility. I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers were rumored to try to get a receiver, you know, throughout the draft this past weekend. And, you know, going in that second round, they still hadn't done so yet. And there was one of the big names still on the board. So I think that there was some notion there. But I think once 51 came up on the board and the Steelers saw that Zach Frazier wasn't drafted, I'm sure that ticket was in just as quick as his name, as they were able to sign it. Obviously, you know, the NFL is a business, so they let us wait around for as long as possible before they announce the pick. But I'm sure it was in there fairly quickly. Are you going to cop one of those 54 jerseys? I'm pretty sure. I don't think anybody has it, so I'm thinking he's going to end up wearing it.
Yes. Like I said, I haven't seen anything on the official Steelers page yet, but I believe that he's always been 54, high school, college. I fully expect it. And we'll definitely be getting the jerseys though.
Nice. I think it'll be a nice one. I mean, 54 right there in the middle. It looks good. It's not like when they put 53 on Kendrick Green. That was weird. Yeah, you know, right after Marquise Pouncey. Yeah, it didn't look bad. Now 54 in there, you know, it's not trying to be Marquise or anything like that. So he can be his own guy.
Chance, check out my Twitter, because I've shared a couple of Frazier family interviews when they were talking about him being selected and everything. Yeah. And you see where Frazier's character comes from. He's got a wonderful family, a very supportive family, and they're going to be able to be there for everything because he's right down the road. So, but yeah, check the videos out just to get a little background and more understanding about a truly special young athlete.
For sure. I saw some of those, I know there was a little bit of a debate because he was in a room full of Cowboy stuff, but
that was his uncle's house.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's going to put some Steelers stuff in there.
There you go. Black and gold. So going on into the third round, the first pick in the third round, the Pittsburgh Steelers selected Roman Wilson, wide receiver. I'll be honest. I didn't know anything about him until he got selected. He looks like he's a faster guy, about 6 foot, 5'11". What are your thoughts about Roman Wilson? Where do you see his fit on this team? Do you see him replacing Deontay Johnson? Do you see him more being the slot receiver?
The thing about Roman Wilson is I watched a good bit of Michigan because I don't watch a ton of college football. I usually watch, if I'm just looking to check out a certain player, because I always watch West Virginia Mountaineers, but Michigan was on all the time, and they always had big games every week. And if you watched, he was Michigan's passing attack. You know, they were just running the ball down people's throats. But their offense is very similar to Arthur Smith's. And Roman Wilson is not a big receiver, but he's physical. He's putting his nose in there blocking. And he'll catch the ball and take a big lick. Because sometimes, you know, Michigan, you know, he had to catch some balls, but he was going to get blown up, and he held on. Mm-hmm. And I think he can play both. I think he can play outside and kind of replace Deontay Johnson and let somebody else work the slot. Because we got to remember, Arthur Smith's going to play 12 personnel. There's going to be two tight ends the majority of the time. And I fully expect the starting receivers to be Pickens and Wilson. Mm-hmm. They might start out with Van Jefferson, you know, at the beginning of the year, but Wilson is by far the second most talented receiver that the Steelers have. I thought he was quicker than fast. Mm-hmm. So when he ran the 4.39, I was like, wow. I mean, he can really, you know, he can move. And so at the Senior Bowl, Mike Tomlin was watching him and Quinyon Mitchell going through the drills, and they were having a good one-on-one battle. And he said after that, he said, Roman Wilson reminds him of AB in his balance and his ability to cut and his footwork. You know, he does everything full speed. And so, yeah, I expect Wilson to be a starter sooner than not. The rumors today is the Steelers are, you know, maybe getting ready to make a transaction, make a trade. And everybody's talking about all these different receivers, but I just don't know if it's necessary, because in Arthur Smith's offense, the number two wide receiver doesn't get that much work. So we'll just have to see what happens.
Yeah, now, I agree with you. I mean, it's going to be weird, or not weird, but you have Van Jefferson that they brought in, as you mentioned, as an acquisition in the offseason. You have Roman Wilson that they just picked up in the draft. There's some rumors going on right now that there's a possibility that the Steelers are going to sign a significant playmaker and, you know, or trade for a significant playmaker. And I think a lot of people are assuming that that's a receiver, whether that be Ayuk or Cortland Sutland or whoever. If one of those guys comes in and, you know, the offense is ran the way Arthur Smith has ran it before, where does that leave Calvin Austin?
I mean, Calvin Austin has got speed and he's a weapon in the right offense. He has to have, like Matt Cannon admitted, he had no idea what to do with him. Now, yeah. Arthur Smith has had some time, you know, but if you look at Arthur Smith's offense, he always has a quick guy, because he had him with Derrick Henry and they were pounding people. They'd have that backup running back, that little guy, I can't think of what his name was. As a change of pace, they'd bring him in, work him, put him out in the slot, you know, do some screens to him to keep teams honest. They were trying to stack the box. So, you know, there could still be a role for Calvin Austin. But, I mean, they got a lot of receivers now coming to camp. I think I counted 7. So, you know, they'll probably, you know, get an opportunity. It can't, but Calvin Austin's got to show something. And he's never going to be a good blocker. And he's kind of penciled in as a gadget guy. So I'm concerned about him, you know, making this roster. I really am.
Yeah, the way it sits today, and if the Pittsburgh Steelers do end up acquiring a playmaker at the wide receiver position, I think that's just going to bury him even further. And, you know, he's going to be, like you mentioned, that gadget guy, maybe a reverse dude here and there, or maybe they'll package him up with a draft pick in the later round and send him off somewhere for a wide receiver.
I wonder if we'll see any jet sweeps. I'm not really remember Arthur Smith running jet sweeps very often at all. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was something that he could do and that they tried to get him out of, but you know, they might even be fewer of those now. So, I'm mainly concerned. I want to see bully ball. I want to see this power running game get going and utilize it, because you got some real talent for this offense in Harrison Warren. Mm-hmm. And now you got Cordell Patterson.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy, man, you know how good he is in the open field. And I'd like to see him get him the ball with some wide sweeps, because he can play running back. Yeah. And give him an opportunity. Well, you got guys like Fatanu and Jones and all blocking, because they can move and they can get out wide. They can spring him. See, in the past, we didn't have the ability to get wide with our tackles, but they can now.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. And I think that this offensive line is that's one of the things that I think used to hurt this offensive line in the past, is when they wanted to do the screens or these short passes to the outside, misdirection passes where the linemen were to get out in front, they would have to leave early because they weren't athletic enough to get up. Yeah. And there would be the flag. Boom, boom, illegal downfield. Now that these guys that they have, they can get out there. I can see those plays working now. And I'm excited about this, but you're absolutely right. When it comes to the gadget play, I think you rather have Cordell Patterson back there running the gadget play than you would Calvin Austin. You know, just
much bigger, stronger. Yeah.
And the resume, and you're probably more comfortable with what he's been able to do with in his past as well. So I do think that this is going to probably be a it's going to be a big year for Mr. Austin.
I'll tell you, I'm excited. Somalu and Daniels,
yeah,
are athletic and can move, and they can get to the second level. So this line is not. I mean, for Arthur Smith's zone scheme, mm-hmm. they pretty much are. They got the perfect guy all the way across the line now.
Yeah, oh, I agree. You know, when I looked at film last year, and I was breaking down the offensive line, one of the things that I noticed that Roderick Jones did a lot better than what Chuks Okorafor did was on the on pulling. When yeah. he would pull out, he would make contact with the person that he would grab and move them out of the way. When it was Chuks Okorafor, more times than not, he would miss that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
That first one. You know, I think that if the same thing can be done on the other side where you have his name escapes me. It's so hard to pronounce. How do you pronounce it again?
Futanu.
There you go, Futanu. Yeah. I have to read it. If I can't read it, I can't say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, well, I leave a syllable out. It's Futanu, but I say Futanu because when I try to put the foo in the beginning, I screw it up real bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's an athletic guy. He's going to be able to get out there. He's going to be able to move around. Is Zach Frazier known as being an athletic guy?
He is more athletic than he looked at the combine because he was coming off the broken leg.
Mm-hmm.
And now it for WVU, he's an average. I'd say he has average mobility,
mm-hmm.
But he is very consistent, and he gives high effort, so he can pull, and he can hit a moving target. So yeah, I'm thinking that especially as he gets fully recovered and immersed in this offense and with his teammates, and they get that chemistry rolling. Yeah, I think he's going to fit in very well.
Was he a guy that made a lot of calls on the offensive line when he was with West Virginia?
Yeah, he is very intelligent. I mean, his academic All-American. I mean, so that tells you all you need to know. But his football IQ is outstanding. He made line adjustments and pickups at the last second. You know, when they would be they'd send both linebackers blitzing up the middle. And he would – but they'd work together for a good while, his line mates. But they were really good at picking that up. You know, Frazier would fall off and get one of them, and then one of the other guys would pick up their guy and keep that pressure immediately up the middle. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that he is – that's the thing about why I wanted Frazier so bad is playing centers, half the battle's middle. Half of the battle happens before the snap for a center more than it does at tackle. You're kind of out there on your own. And Frazier excels at that. So, yeah, I think he's going to pick this up quick.
That's good, man. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to having an offensive line that's going to be, in my opinion, one of the best offensive lines in the league. I think this is going to benefit the running backs and obviously the quarterbacks as well. Yeah, this has Andy Weidel written all over it to me. You know, his fingerprints are all over this, just the offensive line,
definitely.
The whole nine yards. I love it. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to finish out the rest of the draft picks and talk about another Steeler or pass deal that potentially could end up back on the team. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after a few words from our sponsors.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? a woo-hoo-er, a hand clapper, a high-fiver. I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
And we're back. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Daniel. Alongside with me is Shannon White. Shannon, before we get back into the conversation, I'm sure you had a lot of articles that you written this past weekend. Can you share with us what you've done to cover the draft?
Yeah, it was my fifth year in a row that I've done the grading the picks articles. Mm-hmm. So I put a Grady the Pick article out for all seven selections. And, you know, obviously they had a great draft. You know, I would give them at least an A- overall because even the later draft picks, you know, there's some projects there, but they're very talented projects. And, you know, the Steelers are thinking ahead with each selection. So, yeah, definitely check those articles out. Those articles, it's funny. There's so much going on during the draft that a lot of times people are not on the site reading articles. But then when things calm down, like this week, then people go back and read them to see, you know, learn some things that maybe they didn't know already. So, yeah, definitely check those articles out.
100%. And while you're there, you can check out our audio-only podcast, including my own, which aired out on Friday afternoon around, was it 2 p.m. Eastern? So it's still there. Go back, check it out. I covered the Fatuano pick right after it happened. So go check that out while you're there. Now, before we get back into the draft picks, Cam Sutton met with, I believe, Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin last week, and now that there's some rumblings that the Steelers could sign a significant player or in the move for one, you think that possibility of Cam Sutton returning is a possibility this year, even though he's going through his legal issues? And do you think that's the best idea with such a young team?
Well, I know we was talking about it a little last night on the Q&A. I really know next to nothing about what really happened. Because when it first happened, the reports was coming out of all kind of things.
Yeah.
Of what happened and then you heard, you know, it wasn't that much, it wasn't that bad. It was kind of people were blowing things out of proportion. And then I think he didn't know about it because he was working out, and I guess he didn't have his cell phone where he was at. I don't know. But regardless, I think the Steelers reached out to a former player and friend. I think they wanted to check on him. His well-being, or, you know, his mindset. How are you doing? Because, you know, the thing that concerns me is, did it take Detroit long to cut ties?
No.
I mean, he'd been there all year and had a decent season for him. And I was shocked at how fast that they just cut him free, you know. And I said, it must be really bad. But I think the Steelers were doing the right thing, checking on him, making sure he was okay, because, you know, this is a guy that was a teammate and also a friend for a long time. It's very out of character. When he was at Tennessee and then at Pittsburgh, you never heard nothing bad about Cam Sutton at all. Mm-hmm. So I was shocked when the story broke. Tomlin says he's one of the smartest guys he's ever coached. And I wonder if you know, if nobody, if the, you know, the charges have been dropped and if there's no suspension from the NFL, it wouldn't shock me for the Steelers to have a reunion and bring him in, because he's very versatile. He's very smart. He can fill a lot of roles for the Steelers, and they know him better than anybody. So, I'll leave that up to the decision makers, because they're going to have to do some due diligence to find out what's going on. But yeah, it wouldn't shock me to see him come back, because Steelers have been known to do that, you know, with Willie Gay and different guys, where they will bring him back for a reunion.
Yeah, I agree. I think that if he ends up making his way back on the team, it's probably not until training camp. I mean, to do it now when things are relatively quiet, you know, that would be big news, and that'd be going everywhere, and that would – you know, that would then turn into like players being asked things, which no doubt if he ends up getting signed, that the teammates are going to be asked, you know, what are your feelings and thoughts about what happened with Cam Sutton? How do you feel about being on a team? Stuff like that, that could end up being a distraction. So I think that it'd probably be, if you're strategically, probably implement him during a time when there's a lot of news going on from a lot of different teams. That way it's kind of buried in there, but you know, I personally wouldn't want him on the team until he got cleared of everything. You know, I think it's a distraction, you know, regardless of anything. I think it's a distraction. We have a young team and young players that are going to look up to a player like that. And I'm not saying that he did anything wrong or did anything right or any of those things, but until he clears his name, there's going to be that question.
Yep.
And I just don't think it's worth it at this point. You know what I'm saying?
I see. Like I said, it would – the Steelers would really have to do due diligence to even consider it. So,
yeah,
right now I'm not even – I wasn't even thinking about him. But when that rumors broke and it was reported that they had checked on him, and then I kind of listened to him talk. Cam Haber talked about it a little bit, and I'm like, I think they was just checking on a former teammate and friend.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I think it's probably in his best interest as a player, as a person, you know, to get through with these legal things first as well.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And a big thing about him not turning himself in, apparently, was because he was in Detroit. And these, I think the accusation or the offense occurred like in Florida. So he had to travel from Detroit to Florida. However, I don't think it takes like a week to get there. So 2 weeks to get there. You know what I mean? Did he walk? Like, you know what I mean? So I don't know. Where there's smoke, there's fire usually. So there's probably some truth to what the accusations are. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like I said, I've just heard so many different versions. So we need to have a little more clarity for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So with the cornerback position, the way it is, let's say the Steelers don't sign him. How comfortable are you going into season, you know, regular season with this cornerback situation, or do you think that they're going to pick up somebody else before the start of training camp?
Well, I think we all would have liked to see another corner added. You know, they picked up Ryan Watts late, but Ryan Watts, I believe, is going to be a safety. You know, he can play a little slot as far as matching up with big receivers or tight ends, and he's a very, very good athlete. I told somebody, he kind of reminds me of Terrell Edmunds in that he's very athletic and good size, length, decent speed. I can see him. They're talking about making him a safety. And I think that he could be a very talented safety. But I do not want to see him as a playing corner out on an island matched up and asking him to press. He's more of a zone coverage. Read and react. He's got good twitch, and he can react really quick on the ball, but he doesn't track the ball with his back to the play. He doesn't track the ball very well at all. Give up a lot of big plays over the top, especially when he played better receivers, which everybody in the NFL is better. So, I think that he's going to be a safety. So I'm a little concerned at safe cornerback. The Steelers did sign Beanie Bishop from WVU, who is a classic Mike Hilton type slot corner.
Mm-hmm.
But he's faster, way faster. He ran a 4.39, and he's much better at coverage than Mike Hilton ever dreamed of being. So I think they might have found their future. You know, Mike Hilton was that drafted guy. And it wouldn't shock me if somewhere in the near future, Beanie Bishop isn't starting for the Steelers. Even though he's undrafted, I think that – see, I wanted him to pick him in the sixth round. But, you know, Con, he's smarter than me. He waited and got him as undrafted. So
there you go. There you go. Well, let's get back into the draft pick. So round four, or the second pick in round three, ends up being a guy named Peyton Wilson. Now, this is one of my favorite picks. He is 6'4", ran a 4.40. He slid a little bit because he's got quite a list of injuries, or quite an injury history, including not having an ACL in one of his knees,
mm-hmm.
which he's been playing majority of his collegiate career without, right? I think that occurred early on. Hines Ward was a guy that played without an ACL. I'm not a doctor. I don't understand how that works. Are you concerned about that at all? Shannon, the no ACL in the knee?
Well, I had the same thing after an injury in junior high, and I don't have an ACL on one of my knees.
Oh, wow.
And but in the rehab process, you build up the muscles so much in your legs, and it, depending on the individual, you know, it compensated for me not having an ACL.
Mm-hmm.
And if you watch Peyton Wilson, you know, that's why he fell. I mean, he's a first-round talent who fell to late third. He was even, you know, the additional pick the Steelers had picked up at 98. So to get a first-round talent late in the mid-round, that's incredible. And if you watch his workout videos he had on, he's doing box jumps and scissor jumps and stuff that if you got a bad knee, you can't do. I mean, you know, I mean, it was just, you'd have swelling and soreness the next day for sure. He shows his flexibility and sometimes it just you can stabilize the knee just through the muscles around the knee. As you said, Hines Ward, Greg Lloyd was another guy that didn't have an ACL on his knee. And the Steelers are very used to that. They're one of the franchises that are familiar with this situation. So I think when it comes to his workouts, his any physical therapy, they're going to be ahead of the game. So I'm very confident. The main worry is arthritis setting up, because arthritis tries to set up to give the knee more stability, you know, that you are lacking an ACL. But that could be years before, you know, he has start. And, you know, then he might get the clicking in the, you know, loose particles. You got to get your knee scoped. And, you know, I've been through it. So I'm thinking that is it risky? There's always a risk. But the Steelers signed or drafted Darnell Washington last year. They say he's already pre-arthritic knees, you know, and he's young. Mm-hmm. And at 6'7", 6'8", they were concerned. The teams passed on him. Steelers took him because they're like, hey, you know, we get a rookie contract out of him, it's worth it. And then, if you know, anything on top of that's gravy. So Peyton Wilson is a stud. I mean, that guy's Chad Brown 2.0. And you pair him with Patrick Queen and you just take your chances. He might have a long career and never have any problems.
Yeah. No, I hope so. I mean, I think TJ Watt had a couple of injuries in college, and then he became fairly healthy for the most part. And I know here recently he's gone down with a couple of injuries in the last couple of years, but for the most part, he's been healthy. When it comes to Wilson, I think he was clocked at over 23 miles an hour on a play, which is that's fast. And that's without the ACL. I know he's had some shoulder injuries in the past. Do you think he's going to be a guy that's going to be starting next to Patrick Queen day one, or do you think that's still going to be Landon Roberts' job, so to speak?
Yeah, I think that it'll be a Landon Roberts starting out. And but that's another great thing about Peyton Wilson is he's very intelligent. The scouts raved about his football IQ and his leadership. So I think he's a guy, you know, everybody knows, don't ask Patrick Queen to wear the green dot. You know, he's just a read, react, see, you hit it. You know, whereas Peyton Wilson can definitely, he's that type of player, an individual that he can wear that green dot and it not affect his performance in a negative way. And, you know, he's used to calling out formations and making adjustments pre-snap. Because, you know, a lot of times your inside linebacker is kind of like your center. You know, he has to do all that stuff and get everybody in the right position pre-snap on defense. And so Wilson is very accomplished at that already.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I think he's gonna have a role early on. His coverage ability is really good. And you know how the Pittsburgh Steelers like to put linebackers on receivers.
Yeah. So,
you know, I think he might actually be somebody that could, you know, match up against a slot corner or running back out there in the free space. And I was watching some of his tape, and his coverage ability is very impressive. He had an interception or two last year.
Oh yeah.
He had a touchdown return. He had a tremendous amount of tackles, 6 sacks from the middle linebacker position. You know, I think the Steelers got a steal in this guy. Obviously the question is, can he stay healthy for 17 games? And,
Did you see him running down running backs and wide receivers from behind?
Yeah.
I mean, he can move. It's impressive.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that he popped off at the combine running in a straight line, but he also pops off the screen in a football play. You know, he runs that fast. He's that quick. And like I said, I like what he can do. I think if you pair him with Queen and you have obviously you have TJ Watt, Alex Highsmith, and Cam Hayward, who I think is going to be having a much healthier year this year, given the fact that the offense is going to be significantly better than they were last year. And I'm assuming the time of possession is going to be reflected of that and that the defense isn't going to be on the field as long. So I think this is going to be a dominant defense. I think the offense is going to be dominated on the offensive line. I think the big question is also obviously the quarterback, but I like this pick. This is one of my favorite picks, Wilson. And I don't know if he ends up playing well, I might get this jersey. This is the one that I might get.
I wonder what his number will be.
I don't know, man. I wonder too.
Was he in the 41 in college?
I think so. I think so. Yeah, I think he transitioned to the 40s and in the pros. Mm-hmm. After Peyton Wilson, Mason McCormick comes off the board in the fourth round. He was a guy that a lot of people were looking at as a possible center as well, interior guard. I was a little bit surprised by it, given the fact that the Steelers had just drafted Zach Frazier. They have James Daniels, Isaac Seumalo, and Herbig already on the roster. So I was a little bit taken back by this. But what are your thoughts about the pick, and where do you see the Steelers going with this pick? I think that the two Steelers' current guards are going to be free agents pretty soon. Do you think this is the fill-in for them?
Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier, that the Steelers were kind of looking ahead. So that these last three picks were projects that are useful projects that can play, you know, and give them some depth immediately. But they're thinking in the future because, you know, it's going to be a jump up for McCormick from South Dakota State coming to the NFL. You know, if you watch him on his tape, I mean, he's mauling people. He looks like a big bear. But he's playing against smaller athletes, obviously, at that division and that level. But you can see him blocking in space. He's hitting moving targets. He's very aggressive. When he came to to Pittsburgh with the official visit, I was like, oh, Lord, don't try to take a guy from that division and bring him to the NFL and then switch him to center. Because, you know, that's going to take a while. Mm-hmm. But right now, he can be quality depth at all interior line positions. But if, say, Daniels decides to leave next year after this coming season as a free agent, then you have, you know, an in-house guy ready to go. Because I do think McCormick is a guard, and I think he'll be a really good one. Mm-hmm. And he brings some nasty. I mean, that's whatever his nickname will be, Nasty will be in there somewhere because that dude likes to hit people He likes to hurt people, and he likes to pancake people. And so I was really pleased. You know, we get a lot of lip service. You know, Mr. Rooney, what, 4 or 5 years ago, we need to improve the offensive line. We need to improve the running game. We haven't seen it. Last year, we seen it when they committed the first round, moving up to get Broderick Jones. And this year, they completed the process by going and making 3 picks along the offensive line and bringing in 3 guys that fit the Steelers' culture perfectly. So, yeah, I was pleased. I was like you. I was shocked, but I was very pleased when they selected McCormick.
Yeah, me too. I'm sure his nickname will have to do something with spice or spices because it's just too perfect. You know what I mean? Spice or something. the last two guys that the Steelers picked in the 6th round, Logan Lee, defensive end, and Ryan Watts, defensive back. Like you mentioned, these guys are probably going to be project guys, raw players that are going to need to develop, and maybe some future players for the Steelers. Logan Lee, he probably needs to get a little bit bigger. He looks a little thin to me.
Definitely.
You know what I'm saying? So where do you see these guys land? Just like that, just depth and for the future? Or do you see them actually carving a role on this team?
Well, I think both of them have a shot to make the roster, but mm-hmm. they are definitely both projects. Yeah. Logan Lee, I was like, really? You know, when the pick was made and Big G, my podcast partner on Pump Your Brakes, he was like, "Oh, you got no, you don't know Shannon. This guy's who's the guy with the beard?" And we're like, "Brett Kiesel." He says, "He's Brett Kiesel." He said, "Watch you." And see, I remember when Kiesel came in as a rookie, and he was just raw and he just running around. I mean, he was playing special teams.
Yeah.
I mean, coming down, flying down the field, at you know, he was like 280, 285. He was smaller, thin, like Lee is. Now, Lee at the combine was 281. I think he lost weight trying to run faster and test better. But then I think at the pro day was 291. So I don't think it'll be any problem. He's 6'5 and lanky for him to get. I think he needs to be 305 minimum. And he probably can accomplish that at least by next year.
Yeah.
But this year, I think that they'll have him in there, try to give him a few snaps, you know, work him in on special teams because he can move. He come to Iowa as a tight end originally. Mm-hmm. So the guy has movement skills. And but if you look at him, his RAS score was 976 or something like that. So he is very athletic. And he is a Brett Kiesel type project.
Yeah, well, I mean, if he can turn into Brett Kiesel, that would be a steal.
Oh, Lord, yes.
Yeah. Tell him to start working on that beard. He's got better be there by next year. Man, you know, overall, I thought that the Steelers did well as well throughout the draft. These last two guys, like we mentioned before, are going to be the project broad guys that can be something later on. But overall, I gave this an A draft class. You know, I like what the Steelers did with the offensive line. I like what they did with the middle linebacker position. And I know that they're going to make some more moves. Like we mentioned before, there's currently some rumors going on that they could make another signing. Nothing official has happened yet, so there's nothing really to talk about on that aspect. But outside of receiver there, Shannon, before we let everybody go, what other position do you think that the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to target before the start of training camp? Oh, you're muted.
Sorry about that. I'll get fined. I'll let the boys know to find me. I think that they've already got offers out there.
Yeah.
With as we know, with I think they made an offer to Justin Simmons. It wasn't enough. Tyler Boyd, it wasn't enough. Hey, Khan's playing the waiting game, guys. He did it with Justin Fields' situation, and I think he's told him, hey, this is all for this. We're not going any higher, and let it come to him. If they see that, hey, this team looks like they're going to be pretty good, mm-hmm. and I want to get it, you know, get on the moving train. They might take a team friendly deal a team-friendly offer. And I think that's why they cleared the money with Alex Highsmith. So now they got it cleared already. And if one of these guys want to accept a team-friendly deal, they're going to make a move. Looking at free agency right now, there's really not a lot there. I mean, I just think that last year, I think Khan's even smarter this year than he was last year. Last year, he brought in Patrick Peterson. I thought it was a little bit of a knee-jerk reaction to losing Cam Sutton. And, you know, everybody said Peterson lost something. You know, he's not the same. And we've seen that. And so there was another free agent they brought in. I can't remember who it was now. That I just didn't think worked out. You know, it was like, you know, the past or prime type situation. Chandon Sullivan.
Yeah.
You know, in the slot. I mean, they did that during the draft. They didn't get a guy they wanted, and they signed him, I think it was the fifth, sixth round of the draft. So, I'm glad that Khan hasn't done that this year. He's not making knee-jerk reactions, which was the only two blemishes on his resume last year. This year, I think it's clean, baby. I'm like you. I give it an A-minus this draft class and free agency. So I expect, like you, for there to be another move, maybe two moves. I'd like to see a defensive lineman. I still think they need something there, a little size, a little experience. I know they got Lowry that, you know, was a former Minnesota Viking. He's a quality professional, kind of like Armand Watts was last year. But, you know, of course, another cornerback or Justin Simmons, if he decides he wants to come, hey, you can't have too many good defensive backs. So we'll just have to see.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think a slot corner is probably where the Steelers should go next. I think they did a really good job this year. It's just going to basically come down to the quarterback position. I know it sounds like a broken record, but that's what it's going to come down to. Yeah.
It's the truth. Yeah. I mean,
I think this team more so than any other year in the last few years is ready to make a run. If they can get that one position right in the quarterback room, you know, I feel like this, I do. I think they got good two-way punch with the running back position. They got an excellent receiver with George Pickens. Whoever you put on the other side of them is going to have a great opportunity because of the attraction that he's going to take. Mm-hmm. Also, you have two great tight ends, in my opinion. I know that Washington wasn't used very much last year, but in a Arthur Smith offense, we'll see how he does.
I think that'll change. Yeah,
I do too. And so, you know, your offensive line has been reworked. On the defensive side, you still have Mika, TJ, and Cam as your captain. So, you know, the rest of those pieces are going to fall into place. And I think they did an excellent job with those other pieces throughout free agency and the draft. I really do feel like this feels like they're getting ready. And regardless of how the rest of the NFL looks, I know that Steelers are going to end up having the most difficult schedule this year.
Top three if it's not. I can't remember right, but it was top three for sure.
For sure. And so I prefer it. You know, the Steelers have been a team that, you know, when they're playing against better or equivalent teams that rise up to the occasion. When they're playing against teams that they should beat all over the place, they kind of play down sometimes. So if you're having a hard schedule, it's going to be the better of the two.
You can't take your foot off the pedal.
Not at all. Not at all. Well, Shannon, do you have any final words before we call it a show?
No, just thank everybody for we had some great participation and through the whole draft process. It was a lot going on. It was tiring, but it was so exciting. And I know everybody's excited. And I said it last night, and I'll say it again. You know, everybody says, well, don't get too excited. You know, keep everything in perspective. And I don't know what's the fun in that. And I've been dreaming. I mean, other teams' fans do it. Cleveland fans do it every year. They dream they're going to be good. So, hey, I'm going to stay excited. I'm going to be pumped. Be positive, you know, encourage these young men. Welcome to Pittsburgh. And you know, seems like they want to attack guys for who they ate or they could have had this guy or they could have had that guy. It doesn't matter now. They're Steelers. This is a great class, and just support them and be happy about it. You know, if it don't work out, You know, there's always next year. But it's going to come down to, as you say, to these quarterbacks. If the Steelers can identify a quarterback, I think they got the roster now. If they can identify the quarterback, it's like when Ben come in. Ben didn't have to be the hero at first. He just had to be give them that big play four or five times a game, you know, that when the opportunity was there. And I think it's what you're going to need this year. Whoever they already have been talking about, I think it was Warren, Jalen Warren said that the quarterback room is totally different. The leadership aspect. Because, you know, even though Fields is not old, he's got a few years experience. And, you know, Wilson's a crafty veteran. So I think that they're wanting to take the quarterback's lead. And if these guys can work, at least one of them can work out, the Steelers can be really good this year.
Yeah, I agree. So. And as you mentioned about dreams, unlike the Cleveland Browns, ours don't turn into nightmares. You have a great night. Shannon, take us out.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.